The traffic lights changed to green, and the roar from lorries, cars, motorbikes, and tuk-tuks rose higher and higher, until Dim could see the glass in Robinson's department store vibrating. Then the queues started moving, and the shop window, displaying the long red silk dress, was lost behind them in the darkness. She took a taxi, not a packed bus or a tuk-tuk riddled with rust, but a taxi with air conditioning and a driver who kept his mouth shut. She leaned back against the headrest and tried to enjoy the ride. No problem. A moped shot past, and a girl on the pillion, clinging to a red T-shirt with a visor helmet, gave them a vacant look. Hold on tight, Dim thought. On Rama the Fourth Road, the driver pulled in behind a lorry spewing exhaust fumes so thick and black she couldn't see the number plate. After passing through the air conditioning system, the exhaust was chilled and almost odorless. Almost. She wafted her hand discreetly to show her reaction, and the driver glanced in his mirror and moved into the outside lane. No problem. This was how her life had always been. On the farm where she had grown up, she had been one of six girls. Six too many, according to her father. She had been 7 years old when they stood coughing in the yellow dust and waving as the cart carrying her elder sister trundled down the country road alongside the brown canal water. Her sister had been given clean clothes, a train ticket to Bangkok, and an address in Patpong written on the back of a business card, and she had cried like a waterfall, even though Dim had waved so hard it felt as if her hand would fall off. Her mother had patted her on the head and said it wasn't easy, but it wasn't that bad either. At least her sister wouldn't have to wander from farm to farm as a kwai, as her mother had done before she got married. Besides, Miss Wong had promised she would take good care of her. Her father had nodded, spat betel juice from between black teeth, and added that the farangs in the bars would pay well for fresh girls. Dim hadn't understood what her mother meant by kwai, but she wasn't going to ask. She knew, of course, that a kwai was a bull. Like most people on the farms around them, they couldn't afford a bull, so they hired one of the ones that circulated the district when the rice paddy had to be ploughed. It was only later she found out that the girl who accompanied the bull was also called a kwai, as her services formed part of the deal. That was the tradition. She hoped she would meet a farmer who would have her before she got too old. When Dim was 15, her father had called her name as he waded across the paddy field, with the sun behind him and his hat in hand. She hadn't answered at once. She had straightened up and looked hard at the green ridges around the small farm, closed her eyes and listened to the sound of the trumpeter bird in the leaves, and inhaled the smell of eucalyptus and rubber trees. She had realized it was her turn. For the first year, they had lived four girls to a room and shared everything, bed, food, and clothes. The last of these was especially important, for without nice clothes, you wouldn't get the best customers. She had taught herself to dance, taught herself to smile, taught herself to see which men only wanted to buy drinks and which wanted to buy sex. Her father had already agreed with Miss Wong that the money was to be sent home, so she didn't see much of it during the first few years. But Miss Wong was content, and as time went by, she kept more back for Dim. Miss Wong had reason to be content. Dim worked hard, and the customers bought drinks. Miss Wong should be pleased she was still there, because a couple of times it had been a close-run thing. A Japanese man had wanted to marry Dim, but withdrew his offer when she demanded money for the plane ticket. An American had taken her along to Phuket, postponed his journey home, and bought her a diamond ring. She had pawned it the day after he left. Some paid badly and told her to get lost if she complained. Others reported her to Miss Wong if she didn't comply with everything they wanted her to do. They didn't understand that once they had bought her time from the bar, Miss Wong had her money and Dim was her own boss. Her own boss. She thought about the red dress in the shop window. Her mother had been right. It wasn't easy, but it wasn't that bad either. And she had managed to retain her innocent smile and happy laughter. They liked that. Perhaps that was why she had been offered the job Wang Li had advertised in Tairat under the heading of GRO, or Guest Relation Officer. Wang Li was a small, dark-skinned Chinese man who ran a motel some way out on Sukhumvit Road and the customers were mainly foreigners with special requests, but not so special that she couldn't meet them. To tell the truth, she liked what she did better than dancing for hours in the bar. Besides, Wang Li paid well. The sole disadvantage was that it took such a long time to get there from her apartment in Balampu. The damn traffic. It had come to a standstill again, and she told the driver she would get out, even though it meant crossing six lanes of cars to reach the motel on the far side of the road. The air wrapped itself around her like a hot, wet towel as she left the taxi. She searched for a gap, holding her hand in front of her mouth, aware that it made no difference, that there was no other air to breathe in Bangkok, but at least she was spared the smell. She slipped between vehicles, had to sidestep a pickup with the flatbed full of boys, whistling, and she almost had her heel straps taken off by a kamikaze Toyota. Then she was across.